Hello, Curtis here, and I'd like to welcome you to Hiking in Depth, where I share interesting bits about the flora, fauna, geology, and history you encounter on the trail. In this episode, we're heading to Pine Bench, an anomaly of the Western Cascades in the Boulder Creek Wilderness. Cliffside springs, fire-charred landscapes, old pioneer tales, and hiking hazards may pique your interest on this unassuming hike. The most common way to get to the Bradley Trailhead is via Highway 138 from Roseburg, Oregon. Enjoy the hour-long drive as you follow the winding North Umpqua River, well known as a world-class steelhead fishery. Just outside of Glide, you'll drive through a forest burned in the 2020 Archie Creek Fire. The fire burned over 130,000 acres in a year when over 1 million acres burned in the state. In 2021, at the time of recording, the Jack Fire is burning the area near Apple Creek. As you'll soon see, fire is a key motif for this area. If you make the trip all the way to Boulder Creek and back in a day, you'll trudge 9.4 miles and gain over 2,600 feet of elevation. However, if you only travel to the northern extent of Pine Bench, where several nice campsites are placed, the trip will be much easier at 3.2 miles and 900 feet of elevation gain one way. From the small gravel parking lot, you'll slowly ascend a short distance through a dense forest before coming out into a clearing where the elevation begins to drop. The next stop is the deep orange mud of Soda Springs, which is used by Roosevelt elk in the area. However, this sulfur spring doesn't look or smell enticing to me as a water source. On this first part of the hike, before you reach the bench, keep your eyes peeled for glossy leaves of three. Toxicodendron diversolobum, better known as Pacific poison oak, is ubiquitous in this part of Oregon. If you'd rather not partake in the allergic reaction of the chemical urushiol, make sure to wear long sleeves, pants, and be careful when removing clothing and shoes. In the meantime, while you keep a keen eye out for poison oak, you may enjoy patches of subtle cream and purple-veined flowers blooming from April to June. That would be the yellowleaf iris, or Iris chrysophylla. Also blooming in June are rhododendrons present throughout this part of the hike. You may be wondering who this Bradley was to have a trail named after them. In fact, it was named after Bill Bradley, a pioneer who lived nearby and used the trail in the early 1900s as a route to the east side of the Cascades, where he would often trade with Native Americans. After one of his trips, where he traded for some unbroken horses, he was bucked off during a training session conducted in a nasty storm. Fortunately, some neighbors happened upon the scene and returned him to his cabin in a state of semi-coma. Unfortunately, when the neighbors rode for a doctor, they found bridges washed out and trails muddy. Undeterred, they swam across the river and found a doctor in Glide. But by the time they made it back to the cabin, Bill had passed. Most of the trail Bill used was destroyed by road building and timber harvest in the years since, leaving just this short section still maintained. After climbing through an area of intense canopy burn, you'll reach the almost perfectly flat Pine Bench. This basalt plateau was formed several thousand years ago by a lava flow which filled the North Umpqua River Valley. Take note of the large trees, but fairly sparse undergrowth. Frequent lower intensity fires have kept the landscape relatively open for centuries. As you approach the west side of the bench, the forest opens up further and supports a healthy population of ponderosa pine. These pines are common east of the Cascades, but this large grove is out of place so far west of the Cascade Crest. You'll recognize the tree by its almost foot-long needles that grow in clusters of three, and reddish jigsaw-textured bark. When these needles drop to the ground, they take a long time to break down. Most often, they dry out and provide the perfect tinder for frequent low-severity fires.
Our road has been nearly the whole day through the woods. That is, if beautiful groves of pine trees can be called woods. The country all through is burnt over. So often there is not the least underbrush. But the grass grows thick and beautiful. It is now ripe and yellow and in the spaces between the groves, which are large and many. looks like fields of grain ripen ready for the harvest.
The idyllic open ponderosa pine forest that Rebecca Ketchum reflected on during her 1853 trip through the Blue Mountains is a rare sight today, due to a policy of heavy fire suppression. Evidence in the area suggests that the bench was periodically burned by Native Americans as a means of hunting and plant regeneration. Often, we hold the idea of conservation as nature untouched by man, but in reality, much of the natural world was managed by the indigenous people before settlers came along. Now, rather than frequent small fires that are containable and play an important role in the ecosystem, we are seeing blazes larger than ever before. In 1996, the spring fire was set off by a lightning strike and burned about 16,000 acres, most of which was in the Boulder Creek Wilderness. In August of 2008, lightning started 70 small fires, which later turned into the 20,000-acre Rattle Fire. The fire burned for almost 2 months, shut down Highway 138, and had over 1,000 personnel fighting it at its peak. In 2017, the area burned once again, showing us that this landscape is no stranger to wildfire. These ecosystems work on timescales unfamiliar to humans. Trees that are several hundreds, if not thousands of years old. Geology millions of years in the making. When we decided to suppress fire for 100 years, we heavily influenced these ecosystems. However, starting in the 1960s and 70s, we began to see that fire played a critical role in the diversity and flourishing of our wilderness areas. Now we use prescribed burns, much as the indigenous people before us did, to manage the forest, keeping them more healthy and keeping our communities safer from large burns. When we come back, we'll finish our tour of Pine Bench, so stick around. Can't get enough hiking? Do you love pretty pictures of mountainscapes, flowers, and lakes? Did you know that I also have a YouTube channel where I make short videos about these hikes? Yep, you can even find this hike on there. If you'd like to see more, head over to youtube.com/hikingindepth and please subscribe. Now that's enough of this malarkey. Let's get back to the episode. After intersecting Boulder Creek Trail 1552, continue north along the bench until you come to an area with some nice flat spots for campsites. Keep your eyes peeled for a spur trail on the left, which goes to a spring with deliciously cold water and a wonderful view across the ravine to Rattlesnake Ridge and Illahee Rock. This may be a good time for a mid-hike tick check, particularly if you are visiting in spring or early summer. While on our trip in early May, I had 3 ticks embedded in my waist and another 6 or 7 found in my clothes. Finding them early is key, as removal is much easier before they embed themselves deep into your skin. With your water bottle replenished, rejoin the main trail and head past the bench to the north. The trail enters an area of heavy burn, filled with standing snags and clogged with deer brush or Ceanothus integrimus. One animal you may see taking advantage of the snags are woodpeckers. The softened wood, as the tree decays, can make good nesting sites, and some insects may be more readily available. However, it seems that most of the woodpeckers and sapsuckers that live in the region prefer mature and old-growth forests with interspersed snags, rather than the stand-replacing, intensely burned areas such as this. Yet another sign pointing towards a low to medium intensity fire regime being healthy for the forest ecosystem. Shortly after entering unburned forest, you'll come to the crossing of Boulder Creek. There is no bridge here, so your options if you'd like to continue are finding a fallen log to cross or waiting. I decided to keep dry and have lunch along the stream bank, enjoying the melody of Boulder Creek's waters. There are a couple of reasons I decided to go backpacking on this trail. The first being the time of year, and the second being its popularity. Early in the season, most of the more well-known backpacking trips are still covered in snow, while the Boulder Creek Wilderness will be snow-free with warm, sunny weather. After a winter in Portland, It's always nice to get down to southern Oregon and get some vitamin D early in spring. While the North Umpqua River Corridor is popular with recreationalists, most seem to stick to the short scenic hikes to Toktee, Watson, or Susan Creek Falls. Also, with the trailhead being a 4-hour drive from Portland, it doesn't make it high on many people's lists to visit. We did see a couple of other groups on our trip, but had plenty of space and solitude. Sitting on a large toppled ponderosa pine and listening to the birds make their last calls of the evening as the sun set behind Rattlesnake Ridge was a highlight of the trip. Sure, there might be more epic backpacking trips with unreal mountain views or trips with less poison oak and ticks, but to be in it that evening with just the sounds of a forest and a loved one, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Thanks for joining me on this hike. I hope you'll come along next time as we travel to Zion National Park and its spectacular sandstone formations. To learn about more hikes, please visit hikingindepth.com. Follow us on Instagram @hikingindepth or search Hiking in Depth on YouTube. If you'd like to contact me, please send an email to hikingindepth@gmail.com. To help maintain this trail, please consider donating to the Oregon Youth Corps or the Northwest Youth Corps, who have both done trail work in this area. This episode was produced and written by me, Curtis Bernard, with my wife, Tram Bernard, voicing Rebecca Ketchum. Sources include Tracking Down Oregon by Ralph Friedman, Reminiscences of Southern Oregon Pioneers, Roy McDonald Foster, Oregon's Wilderness Areas, The Complete Guide by George Werthner, the United States Forest Service, OregonHikers.org, Old Growth Forest Hikes, Washington, Oregon Cascades by John and Diane Cecil, Exploring Oregon's Wild Areas by William L. Sullivan, caltopo.com, and Natural History of the Pacific Northwest Mountains by Daniel Matthews.